So my name is Ben Campbell. I am a faculty member at the University of Georgia. I'm going to apologize to Lisa, Julie, and Ariana. I have an undergraduate student presenting right after I get through. So I'm going to get through, grab my bag, and go and hope they don't mess up over there. So that's where I'm headed next. Enacting policies to ban pesticides in greenhouse and nursery production. Why should we care about thinking about what do consumers think about bans of pesticides? Well, a number of states, a number of outlets have started down that road. Neonicotinoids, Maryland has banned them. Retail outlets such as Lowe's and Home Depot are phasing them out. So this is something that's real. We are seeing these bans that are coming about. There's been pesticide bans, Ontario, homeowner pesticide bans, school grounds, Connecticut, New York. So we see these things that are coming to fruition because people have this sentiment that we should be getting rid of pesticides and other types of production practices. So we know that environmental labeling does carry weight with consumers. There's a lot of studies out there that show that local organic or environmental friendly labeling, it does impact people's views of products, may or may not do willingness to pay, they may pay a premium or not, but it does impact their preferences for those products. Even pioneer friendly labeling, we see it along all these lines, that these labels, that people do have a concern for the environment, and so they are reactionary towards these labels in a positive way for the most part. So that being said, we're not going to look directly at policies. There's research out there that says that, you sort of get biased results if we ask about specific policies, because people have the policies, they generate highly emotional responses. So we're going to tackle this by looking at consumer sentiment. So consumer sentiment is going to be sort of our proxy for how people are feeling about some kind of a policy ban coming into place, right? The more people that dislike a certain production practice, the more likely you are to have that production practice banned. The more people that have a positive view, the less likely. So we're going to look on the consumer sentiment side, knowing that those things, that is driving federal, state, and retail changes that are occurring. So we're going to start by looking at knowledge of different production practices. So if I ask each of you what is an insecticide, fungicide, or herbicide, you might have a good idea what it is. But if I ask the consumer, random consumer out on the street, what is it? Do they know? We're going to also look at CRISPR technologies, GMO, and organic as well. So these different types of things are what we're going to look at, because if you think they're not coming to horticulture, greenhouse nursery production, they are. It's just a matter of time. Organic's already there. GMO, CRISPR are on their way as well, if not in a larger scale. So how do you use these production practices to impact decision of purchasing foods, plants, and turf? That's our sentiment question, right? So if I say something has been treated with an insecticide, fungicide, how does that impact your decision to buy a food or a plant, right? So that is our sort of our proxy for the policy there. And we know that type of message and source of message does play a role in how people view information and how they believe. So in this case, the paper we're working on now is that type and source of information, so type being positive or negative, and then source of message being media, activists, it'll actually have a role in will people buy more pollinator-friendly plants. So we know that messaging has a role. So we're also going to throw in here with respect to knowledge, how's decision, but can we give them people an understanding of what these different production practices are? Will that play a role in getting them to change their sort of how valuable they place, how much value they place on their decision to purchase? Okay, so I'll go over what those treatments are in a second. And then we're going to translate this into sort of policy implications at the end. So that's where we're heading. So we did a survey earlier this year, Southeastern U.S. residents, roughly 2,500 surveys. IRB approved, Toluna Incorporated was our survey provider. I don't know if you know how this works, but for survey providers online study, we go out and we solicit bids from different companies, database providers. Those companies then, we chose Toluna. We have a link to our survey. We send it to the company. They send it out to their database. Then people in their database that fit our criteria, which is 18 or older, for this one and one of the southeastern states, go right click on the link. If they agree to participate, they go through the survey. If they don't, they're eliminated, right? So that's how that works with respect to getting a sample. Overall, the online survey of Southeast, average age 44, roughly $50,000. Oversample women, generally because women are the ones who, they generally, more frequently, the primary shopper in the household. So by and large, when you look at this, we're roughly equivalent representative of what the southeastern population is. So, I mean, with respect to how representative we are, is how much we can generalize, but we're fairly representative of what's happening in the southeast. Our analysis, we're going to do visual comparisons for a lot of the stuff. We're going to do a couple of TOEIC models. I'm not going into detail. If you want more information, I'll be happy to provide that in context. But basically, we just want to know what's the impact of the messaging that we're going to provide them, and also how much did – so when you went to the screen and looked at the message, we calculated how long you spent on the page. So roughly how long did you read it? So if you click straight through it, you would have a time very small. If you read it, your time should be larger. So we want to know how much did your actual time spent on that page actually impact – did you spend more time actually reading the message? Would that might get you to have a different value for the decision-making on the production practice? Here's our treatments. So we had a control. The control would be you got no information. So this is normally you go – you get shown how much would the property being treated with an insecticide impact your decision to buy a food? Whereas someone who got the fungicide treatment or insecticide treatment, they got this message. So we had these different treatments that we showed people just to see, can information impact someone's decision to buy? So knowledge of production practices. So this is a 0 to 100% under scale. 0 had no knowledge, 100 extremely knowledgeable. Roughly everybody's in the middle, except for organic, which is a little bit higher. But people say they're somewhat knowledgeable about insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, and known down the line. Okay, so we do know that research has shown that people generally may think they're knowledgeable, but they're wrong by and large, right? So if I ask people in this room what local and organic are, most of you say you know what it is, and then I would say quarter to a third or more would be wrong what your definition is, right? So we know that this is what they're saying, but by and large, they're not as knowledgeable as they say they are. But it gives us an idea that people aren't saying they're extremely knowledgeable. They're somewhere in the middle. So, impact of messaging. So, if we ask you for food, what is your willingness to purchase a product given its treatment with insecticide? Roughly, it's roughly the no impact. These are going to have no impact except for organic. Okay? So, from a policy standpoint, people are in the middle, right? We know there are people on the extremes, but by and large, people aren't really concerned about insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, these other things. We're in the no impact. Except for organic. Organic has this move towards more likely to buy. So how can we move? If we are in the green industry, we would like these people to actually say, hey, look, it's not going to affect me, or I want to go more positive, I'm more likely. Because maybe I think it's better for the environment, I think it's not going to hurt me, whatever. So we'd like these numbers to actually move higher and more positive. What we see is we're giving them information, really doesn't change anything. So if I tell you what it is, it really doesn't affect your opinion, okay? Which is okay, that's fine. It means that no impact, I'm not going to do. It's definitely not decreasing, which is good, but it's not affecting anything from what we see here. So we see no movement with information, but most people are somewhat knowledgeable. I mean, or have no impact on their decision. For plants, we see the same thing. What we do see, though, is for plants, people are actually a little bit higher. Right? So if we no impact, if we think of plants, you're not consuming it, it's less of impact on my decision compared to if I was eating food. That's very obvious why that would occur. You're consuming food, so it may affect you a little bit more than if it was plants. But plants, really, there's nothing here with respect that is from just looking at means about what's going on. Information is not getting you to be more likely to buy, and it's really not taking you to more of a no impact. Turf, same thing as plants. We see there's really no difference. People are, again, around the no impact line, and messaging is not affecting anything. And I'm doing this because I'm leading up to another slide a little bit later where we look at marginal changes where we see a difference. So our model group one. So we want to say, okay, our decision to purchase is our variable we're trying to explain, and we're going to use demographics and a treatment group to try to explain it. Okay, so instead of putting a bunch of numbers, I'm just going to sort of very generally what's happening. Demographics play a role on how much your decision to purchase. Some people are predisposed to react differently to the different labels or the different insecticides, herbicides, and on down the line. But we see no treatment effects. Just what we saw in the tables, the treatment effects are not having a really impact, okay, a significant impact. Group two, decision to purchase, demographics, and time to pay submit. Again, how long did it take you to do it? The thought here is, well, maybe if someone didn't read it, these no impacts are actually occurring because no one read it. Right? You're doing a survey. You're busy. I'm just going to click through to get through the survey. So in this case, we're going to do time submit. We see, again, some demographics effects. We see no time effects happening. So it doesn't matter if you spent 3 days on that message or if you spent 2 seconds on the message. It really does not play a role in your decision, how much that production practice is value, you're valuing it. Okay? So we don't see time reading the message. We don't see message having an effect on moving people towards the more of the no impact or more positive. So this common thing we have is that we can give more information out and people will respond positively. Really, we're not seeing that on a significant scale. But we do see something interesting, though. So this is looking at those people that did zero, so B for food. So this zero says, I'm extremely unlikely to buy if it's treated with, in this case, it's insecticide. Okay? 5% said that. 25 or less, that's that rating. So 25, you're 0 to 25. On the so you're really on the very extremely unlikely to buy, given some food. Given some insecticide. 32%. 50 or less, so this is no impact or less, 62%. We do see some movement on these people, very marginal movement on information effect. So it's not significant, but we do see some of this information starting to move people a little bit more positive. Right? So this thing that we think that information is going to have a really big impact on getting policies to not go in place, probably is not the case. But we can see small marginal impacts on movement. Right, so the case here could be made that I think is happening is that, you know, if you have a policy it's overwhelmingly people want to happen, information is not going to switch you away from that. But if you have a policy that's up in the air, 50-50 being passed, giving information out could move you in the direction of getting majority of people not to adopt the policy. Same thing with plants. We see again this pesticide. This is just pesticide. Information only. If we give all information, so we have all it, it's probably too much information, so thereby we see these effects revert back to and doesn't have an effect. So giving specific information can help with reducing the probability of impacting of a policy going into effect. On the flip side, if you want a policy to go into effect, giving negative information could probably flip you the other direction and get information to get the policy passed if you give negative information out there. We're talking about some marginal changes. We're not talking about significant changes, really large changes. These are 1 or 2%. But if we're talking about voting on a policy ban, and you're at 49% to 49% or 51%, given a little information could flip you over the other way. It's not going to change and make huge gains. Same thing for turf. Again, giving a little information makes a difference. Giving no information, but giving a lot of information, again, you revert back to just like you gave no information. So, we see that some people have some knowledge about production practices. However, we know that knowledge does not equal accuracy. Again, we know that people don't have this, that they think they know what's going on, but by and large, for the most part, people don't understand what's happening production practice-wise. So we know that. We know there needs to be education-wise with respect to that. But on the decision to purchase, there's really no significant impact on respondents' decision. So giving different types of information is probably not going to be a big indicator of getting a policy banned or not passed or not passed. Messaging did not change opinion specifically, but we saw these marginal changes when looking at only the message of interest. So we can't have marginal if these small changes can occur, especially if we give just specific information. We give a lot of information, it's information overload, and we have the case where people just probably don't want to read it and won't read it. With respect to implication, you know, if concern grows, then we're more likely to see increase in bans, right? So, you know, giving information is not going to stop that, right? It's just, we know that this is probably not going to have a big effect, but we may have an avenue to change opinions, but only these marginal impacts. We're not going to see these big impacts just stop or to enact a policy ban for production practices. We're going to make small, on these people on the border, you're going to make small little increases or decreases. So, Alicia told me to stop talking. So I am done. Any questions? I have 30 seconds. Yeah.
Is there a reason CRISPR and GMO are separated? Because is CRISPR not a kind of kind of fall under the GMO umbrella in a way?
They're different. And don't ask me to define exactly how they're different and the way they work. Hopefully someone knows that differences, but they are different on how they work. So CRISPR is not GMO the way GMO is GMO. That makes sense? So GMO is insertion of a gene from one organism to another organism. CRISPR doesn't work the same way.
But the GMO is just genetically modified.